Hello, everyone. Happy Memorial Day weekend to everyone. It's kind of dark in here. Let me try something real quick. Oh, I gotta go over here. That's better. That's a little bit better, I think. Oh my gosh, y'all, I just raised up the blinds and there were like so many dead bugs on my windowsill. So good morning, Irma. Well, it's not morning anymore. All right, we got them lined up here. So let's get started. Oh, can y'all hear me? Melissa says no sound. Okay. Melissa, it must be on your end. You might want to go out and come back in or make sure that your computer is not muted. That happens to me all the time. Okay, Miriam, you are up. Let's do this. Okay. Hey. I talked to you the other day.
Yes, you did, with the grandchildren.
Yes.
It was helpful to say kitchen is closed.
Right. Your kitchen is closed. Okay.
Exactly. So I have another question.
Okay.
As long as you remember me, it's not the circumstances of having the kids here, but I was at their house and everything was crazy and dinner was crazy. And then I came home and I ate and that was crazy. And I actually was going to come on with another question this morning, but I did two recovery sheets. And the same thing came up on both of them. I did a recovery sheet for dinner and I did a recovery sheet for the eating I did when I got home. But what came up on both of them was, in the past, have you had success saying no to the urge to overeat or eat off plan? And if so, what worked? Mm-hmm. It's not that anything worked, but what I realized, and I realized this before anyway, but after doing the two sheets back to back, it really jumped out at me. I've always been successful when I made a commitment to a diet. So it could be Weight Watchers, it could be keto, it could be paleo. I've never actually had to do something where I made a commitment to myself.
Mm.
And I understand that that's all what this is about, that you make the plan and you stick to it. And by doing it day after day, you make a commitment to yourself. And I have been. I practically completed the 60 pages that come in with the planner. So it's not that I haven't made a commitment. It's just not that important. And I don't know whether it's not important or whether, because let's say I'm doing paleo or keto or something and it's the rule is no bread. And then I do a plan and there's an exception and it's like, yes, but you can have a slice of bread or you can have. So it's just, I don't know, that level, that stronghold that a diet usually has on me is not here with this. Does that make sense? It's two parts. Part of it is a commitment to myself, right. But the other part is because you're trying to make realistic planning that things are lenient, and I'm not. And so that also is part of the control and the commitment.
Well, but that's just a thought that you're thinking that things are lenient. That's not necessarily true, because you can decide to make a plan. And you are committed to following that plan. I mean, what are you thinking is lenient?
Well, the leniency is also, okay, so I'm not making the commitment to the plan, but the thing is that the plan isn't that strict. So let's say I have a bag of chips, or I'm allowing myself an English muffin, or I'm allowing my, doesn't feel like a diet. I think that's what's going on.
Yes.
It does feel like a diet, and I've only made commitments to diet.
Right.
Obviously, I wouldn't be in this condition if I stuck with it forever and ever. So the commitment to the diet isn't right. Forever and ever. But there's just that sense of, here are the rules, here are the boundaries, and I'm just not feeling even though there are rules and boundaries with PNP, I'm just not feeling the stranglehold that, you know, it's maybe the stranglehold that makes me committed. Maybe I don't feel committed, but it's like, ah, you better commit yourself.
Well, the whole thing is that you, the truth is that you weren't committed in the past with other diets, or they would have worked for you.
Well, they did work, but not in the long run. Because
right. So they didn't work for you. So quit saying they worked for you, because okay. they didn't, because you eventually quit.
Okay.
So that's what we're, that's how we're different. So you are kind of redefining commitment for yourself now.
Yes. I think that's it.
Yes. That's what it is. It's like, you know, what you thought was commitment before wasn't, because I mean, and that, I'm not saying that to be, you know, for you to beat yourself up, right? For you, but for you to just see that you weren't committed to those other diets, because you eventually quit and, you know, either gain the weight back or you just quit. Right. And so, and that's okay, because those were not the right diets for you or the right plan for you. And now you found the one that's for you. And so it's time to commit in a new way, or to, you know, to redefine your commitment in a way that, you know, you can be committed to things, but not have, it doesn't have to be strict. It doesn't have to be, you know, this is exactly what you can eat and what you can't eat. This is what commitment means to you now with what you're doing now.
Well, maybe I'm not defining it. I mean, I thought I was defining it by doing the plans and doing the assessments, but there just has to be, there's just something deeper. I don't know what it is. I'm not committing to myself, or I'm not committing to my future self, or I'm not, there's just something that is not grabbing me with the planning and the assessments, which I've done every day. There's something else missing that will help me commit to myself, so that you know, at night or something, when I want to eat, it's like, no, I've made a commitment to my plan. Yeah, but the commitment is only to me, and that doesn't seem important enough.
Well, that's where your work is that you've got to redefine commitment as commitment to yourself. Because that's the only commitment that really counts. You can't commit to anything outside of yourself and expect for things to work long term. Because, I mean, you know, that's long term weight loss, and, you know, and keeping it off is a commitment to yourself.
So how do I do that?
Is a daily practice of making a plan, you know, and deciding, and choices. It's all about making choices. Every single choice you make every day related to food, related to making a plan. When you say, yes, I am going to do this, that is a commitment to yourself. You know, when you say, yes, I'm going to make a plan today, I'm going to follow this plan, I want to eat this, but it's not on my plan, so I'm not going to eat it, and I'm going to make this choice. Those are all commitments to yourself that you are keeping.
Okay. And I don't think I've ever had that before. I mean, I'm one of these, you know, 13-year-olds dropped off at Weight Watchers by their mother and say, well, figure it out. And now I'm 67.
Yeah. So you're doing something. I mean, how awesome is it that you're doing something brand new at 67? You're learning something new. That means that you're not going to be perfect at it, and you're never going to be perfect at it. That's important to know too. But you're doing something that's new that you've, you know, never done before, which is committing to yourself and not to a diet outside of yourself. And so it's just going to take time for it to, it's going to be hard at first. It's going to be, you know, uncomfortable. It's just going to, you know, you're going to think that it's not going to feel right at first, but as you go on, and every choice that you make, that is a choice that to follow your plan, to, you know, to not overeat, to do those recovery worksheets, you know, the four basics, all of that, those are all, I mean, every single time you make those choices, those are a commitment that you're keeping to yourself.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I think I just have to bring more of that awareness to it, mm-hmm. because obviously I'm aware when I make my plans, I know what I want to eat. I know what I have to grocery shop for, and I'm aware in the assessment whether they worked or not, mm-hmm. but I'm not aware internally, like,
So I want you to, and actually this is something that Kathy had another member do the other day, where, because the other member was saying, like, I'm not keeping commitments to myself.
Right.
And Kathy said, I want you to make a list, and I want you to do this too. I want you to make a list of ways that you commit to yourself every day.
Okay.
And I will start you off with like a couple of them. You get up and get out of bed every day, right? That's a commitment. Maybe bathe. You maybe brush your teeth. All of those are commitments to yourself. But I want you to make a list as long as you can of everything you do every day that is a commitment to yourself.
Okay.
Okay. And so that's how you kind of redefine that commitment in terms of, you know, to yourself as opposed to something outside of yourself. Because the only way this is going to work long term is, you know, you having that relationship with yourself and keeping promises to yourself, not to Weight Watchers, not to PNP, not to Corinne, not to me. You know, it's like, it's when we're not looking, right? I mean, you know, when we're not checking your work, when it's just between you and you, that's where the rubber meets the road. And that's where you make choices where, you know, no one else is going to, you know, is going to pat you on the back or, you know, give you a high five. You got to high five yourself.
Okay. That's what I got to start doing. I mean, obviously, like you remember the call with the grandkids, obviously I make commitments to everybody, yes. But do I make them to myself?
And you do, but you just have to remind yourself how you do that on a daily basis. And then it's like, oh, well, if I can commit to brushing my teeth every day, at least once, maybe twice, then I can make, you know, then I can do other commitments, right? And so it's just reminding yourself what, how you already commit to yourself and then how you can add to that.
Right. And just the other factor in here is I'm newly retired. So I used to make commitments to getting up and going to work and getting my job done and this, and I'm still feeling my way through retirement. And sometimes the only commitment is getting out of bed in the morning, maybe getting dressed.
Yes.
So in addition to all of this, I'm dealing with an overall life change with those kinds. Because again, those commitments, even though I did them, they were sort of outside myself, like people at work needed me to show up and
right. So it's that self accountability, right? And we have that whole course on accountability, on mastering accountability. So check that out too.
I will. I did.
Okay.
All right. So,
all right.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Bye, Betsy. Talk to you later. Bye. That's good. Okay. We got them lined up. Let's see. Laura, Melissa, and Tanya are up. Laura. Hey.
Hi.
Oh, there we go. Okay.
Hi.
So, hi.
This is really funny because it jumps off of what you guys were just talking about really well.
Oh, good.
So over the past couple of weeks, I've noticed Corinne mention like that people need to evaluate what their core beliefs are. And I didn't know what that was. So I have been Googling it and it, you know, it talks a lot about like, you know, are you pretty? Are you worthy? Are you like, what do you think about yourself at your core? And then you'll kind of, you know, that's where some self-sabotage can come from. Mm-hmm. And so for a lot of my TDLs, I've had this kind of like worthiness question come up. And so I was working on it a lot, like over the last couple of days on TDLs. And I don't think that I really think I'm unworthy. And so I was digging deeper with it last night. And I think that my core belief is that I'm unreliable. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think that it's like, it's not that I need to figure out how to be consistent, because that's what like, you know, I mean, I can show up and deliver at times, but it's not, it's the consistency thing, you know, and that was, you know, I guess that's something that I've gotten, like, that's the only thing my parents could really complain about, you know, was like, you know, I was getting good grades and I went to med school and all this stuff, you know, and I can, I'm better with external accountability, just like the last caller was saying with, you know, a program or someone else depending on me, but it's that inability to be reliable to myself in the moment when I want something or, and I don't know, like, is that a core belief that like, what do you do to work on that? Cause
you're talking about being, you're unreliable to yourself, not to others.
Yeah, correct. I mean, okay. I have a job, I do, you know, what I do. And it's like, I can show up when I need to for other people. And when it's really like, you know, the consequences are obvious, but when it's just stuff like, you know, working on my own projects, and it's not as much of an obvious deadline, then, you know, so I've been trying to do all this planning and all these things, and they all help a bit, but it's, I think I'm not gonna, like, none of those paradigms are gonna fix the problem if the problem is that I think no matter what I use or do or, you know, integrate into my life, that I will still be unreliable, and that's why I need these things.
So how does, when you think I am unreliable, how does that feel?
I was reading this article and it said that when you kind of hit on a core belief, it'll feel emotional, and it did. Mm-hmm. Like it, you know, there were some tears. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's true. I mean, I have empiric, and it's not just true in that I believe it to be true. It's like, I have not shown up at times, like the way that I have not done what I said I would do. You know,
But still that, I mean, yes. Okay. So that's evidence of your belief, but it's still just right. A belief, right? It's still right. Just exactly. a thought.
Because I do show up at other times. And so I know right. That I can.
Right. So it's like, it's the kind of this whole difference between like thoughts and truths, or beliefs and truths, like, you know, thoughts and beliefs are just things that we choose to believe, right? I mean, things that right. We choose.
Right.
But then when we think that they are a truth, like that they are a fact, and, right. You know, but wait a minute, I have all this evidence and stuff.
Right.
And so it's like you're kind of moving into that truth, you know, right. It's really like a truth to you, but it's still a thought. It's an optional thought.
Right. And like, I guess my question is, you know, is we talk about, you know, thought laddering with like, right. You know, I'm open to believing I could be someone who cooks or whatever, but like, I don't know, like not being a cook doesn't feel as like emotionally, right. You know, core, right. Like essential to my self identity in the past as that. So can you just thought ladder your way out of a core belief?
Yeah. Yeah. Because well, and I also just think, I don't think calling it a core belief really helps all that much because that makes it sound like, oh, it's at my core and, you know, it's right. Going to be so hard to change. And so it's just like, it's just another thought that you're thinking. Okay. And it's like, and it can be like a kind of a thought error. Like you can just decide, you know, here's my favorite example. Like I can literally walk around and say my hair is blue. And like, I can just choose to think my hair is blue. And everyone else in the universe can disagree with me. But if I want to think my hair is blue, like, I get to think that. So the whole thing is that you get to think whatever you want. So you can just literally throw that. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's a core belief or not. I mean, just like throw that out the window and you can just decide today, May 25th, 12:18 PM Central Time, that I am now reliable, you know, and I am about to build evidence of that. But I mean, but literally, but you don't even have to build, forget I said the evidence part. You can just, you know, totally turn around if you want to.
Okay.
But, so I just wanted to say that where it's just like, it's just a thought. So it doesn't have to be, you know, you don't have to have any evidence. But yes, absolutely. You can start with a laddering thought. So did you come up with any, or have you kind of thought about what that might be?
I mean, yeah, honestly, everything else I've ever tried to thought ladder, it's been real easy to jump past all of the, like, I'm open to believing I could be someone who is, you know, and it's like, and it's hard because I am, there are definitely times I am reliable. I guess it's, I should like clarify it. I'm unreliable when the stakes are in the distant future and it only matters to me. So that's, I mean, cause I'm not unreliable to everything. It's more like weight loss or projects that only I care about, or, you know, cleaning my apartment, which I will not turn the camera around. but stuff that really, it doesn't only matter to me because it keeps me from inviting people over.
Right.
From, you know, having a bunch of accomplishments to put on my resume.
They're kind of, separate. There's, it's like a ripple effect. Right. And so,
exactly. So,
So, I mean, it can just,
this one I started just with that idea of I'm open to believing I can learn to become accountable to myself.
And right. Well, and it could, even before that, a laddering thought can be like, I keep thinking I am reliable to myself, just to keep, just to remind you that it's a thought, right? That it's just a thought. And then moving on to, I'm open to believing. I'm working on believing that I am reliable to myself, or that I can be reliable to myself. You know, it's just like adding those, you know, certain words that you can definitely, like, I like to kind of see it like, you know, if the door is cracking open just a little bit, right? Like, you ask yourself, do I, you know, could I believe that, you know, do I believe that? If the door's cracked a little bit, then that's something that's good for you to practice. And then, but then also, you know, like come up with a thought and then say, okay, how could I, you know, prove that thought true, right? I mean, how could I, you know, work on, I mean, obviously that's kind of what we're trying to do, right? We're trying to kind of, practice new thoughts and, you know, create evidence eventually for, you know, for them to, you know, to be proven true. So, with your actions. So, so kind of do some journaling on that too, in terms of like, I mean, you may want to start out with, you know, how have I not been unreliable to myself? And then, you know, how could I be reliable, more reliable to myself?
Like it's the first time I've really realized that. It was just yesterday when I was TDLing that that's really what it came down to. And so I don't know, like, I mean, it did feel kind of emotional. So I don't know that there's any like usefulness to kind of going, like, I mean, to kind of like forgiving yourself for that, to move on from it. I mean, I think those are like, you know, I mean, for a lot of it, it's like, it doesn't help. I mean, like my weight and stuff, I don't feel like I need to do that. I just, you know, I want to start where I am today and move forward.
Why do you think it was emotional? And what emotion are you
feeling? It feels so true.
I'm disappointed in myself.
Yeah, I mean, I think I was disappointed in myself. And then you kind of, it's that idea of thinking where you could be if you hadn't been, you know, and I don't have that with my weight, really. Like, you know, I mean, I wish I wasn't this size, but I'm actively doing stuff to it. And I know it doesn't help to kind of like sit around thinking, if only I had not eaten, you know, Taco Bell for a year, or, you know, gotten Hashimoto's or something, like, those are just, it doesn't help. Like it, I don't feel any emotional kind of reaction to those things. And it, you know, I'm taking action with the weight loss. So like, I don't get there.
And, you know, Corinne did that, that live last week where she was walking on the trail and she was talking about like how it's kind of okay to be disappointed, right? Like it's okay, to feel some of that stuff. And then that can kind of, you know, propel you into, you know, into action and into improving yourself and things like that. It's okay to sit in that for a little while and, you know, kind of accept that, because you don't want to like resist. This is something I've been kind of working on too. Like, you don't want to resist this emotion or resist these kind of unintentional feelings or thoughts. So you kind of want to accept them with compassion and be like, okay, you know, this is what I've been doing, you know, for a while, and that's okay. That's been my choice. And it's just something I've done for a long time, but then, you know, I want to improve.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I'll start there. I think, I guess, I don't even know. I just, it was like, it was a, it's never been something that emotional before. And so I just felt like, is this, do you just treat it the same as any other thought work, or is, I guess?
Yeah. But just, you know, just kind of keep your mind open to, you know, it's not like there's some deep, dark thing down there probably, but also just kind of, you know, let yourself, if you feel emotion coming up and stuff, kind of let yourself feel it. Right. And that could bring up, other thoughts or other feelings or memories or whatever it is. And just, you know, just kind of be open to that with compassion and love for yourself, and just allow yourself to feel whatever comes up.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, Betsy.
Good question. Okay. All right. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. All right. Melissa, Tanya, I think Heather was asking, Heather was asking where she is. It's Melissa, Tanya, and then Heather. You're after that. So you're third in line. That's what I do usually, is just put, kind of the top three. All right, Melissa, you are next. Hey.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you? Nice to see you, Betsy.
Yes, hadn't talked to you in a little while.
Yeah. So my issue is related also to the previous people, and I have my notes here.
Okay.
I'm trying to figure out. Oh, well, I'll just hold this. So what I've noticed, I keep losing the same amount and then gaining it and losing. And I've noticed a pattern, and it's like I have a non-negotiable area where I just stop the nonsense. And it always, I'm doing all the four basics, except the one that gets me is the eating 2 to 2. And so I've been really working on that. But I've noticed that when I get close to my goal weight, I start just slacking off and being lax. And I know that I'm eating over a 2. I'm aware of it, and I'm choosing to do it. I thought, oh, I don't know, why am I doing this? And I thought, well, if I did know, what could these guesses be? And I have a whole long list of possibilities, but the main one that I think is driving it is I still have reluctance to give up overeating as a way to soothe. I still, because it's still I'm still thinking that it's serving me in some way, in a positive way, which I know it isn't, because then it doesn't, it affects my results. But in the moment, it's, you know, it's just my way of coping. So I have been able to not do it, and I've been keeping the urge jar and tracking my urges. But the thing I've noticed after doing all these recovery worksheets is that in the moment, I often forget that I can, I forget to think the new things, and I immediately go to the old thoughts. And one of the old, so the old habit is to resist the urge and to think, oh, you shouldn't eat that, you're going to gain weight, which isn't helpful. And I want to remember the newer thought, which is, well, we're dealing with this habit, we're changing this habit, we're doing something different, and we're leaning into the urge and sitting with it. But I don't always remember this. I don't know if I don't have a good enough thought, strong enough thought, but I made up a acronym for what I want to do, which is to stop, just stop, don't do anything, because, and then notice what I'm physically feeling and feel what I'm emotionally feeling, and then ask myself what I really need and write it down. And it, but I can't always write it down in the moment either. So I'm just trying to brainstorm ways to make it more streamlined and more like I can remember to do this. And I've done it for, like, if I have a special occasion, I try to visualize it before, but sometimes I get that urge and I didn't expect to have it. And then it's like, I panic. Panic, and I immediately go to resistance, and it's really hard to move from the resistance feeling to just accepting that it's there and not doing anything.
So it really sounds like you kind of need a, like an urge protocol, right? So like when you get an urge, like something.
That was my urge protocol, the snap off.
Stop,
that notice, feel that.
And so, and I mean, you say you forget, but I mean, are you really forgetting, or are you just like saying to yourself, no, I don't want to do that right now? I mean, You say you're forgetting to
well, I just came up. I just came up with this thing like the other day. It's new. Okay.
So it's
the snuff off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So, and I was able to do it, but before that, yeah, no, I really do forget. I go to, don't eat that. You're going to gain weight. And then the common justification is that it doesn't mm-hmm. matter.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell my, and then, but I heard that really good podcast on It Does Matter.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like perfect timing because it's like all those things. Yeah, mm-hmm. it does matter. Every little thing matters because yes. I'm trying to break those neural pathways and do right. something new.
So I think part of your protocol right. is, you know, reminding yourself, like when you do your plan every day, like maybe reminding yourself, okay, every time I have a, you know, every time I have an urge, I'm going to do my protocol, whatever it is. And then just have it like, you know, your acronym or whatever it is. I mean, have that, you know, visible to you in regular places. And I mean, that's what it takes for our brain to just be reminded of things. And, you know, if we're doing something new, our brain has to be reminded over and over and over again, because it's so used to doing something else mm-hmm. for so long. So it's just regular intervals, like, okay, when I make my plan, I'm going to remind myself of what I do with an urge when I assess my plan. But then also maybe I'll set a few reminders throughout the day of, you know, don't forget, if you have an urge, this is what we're going to do. And it just keeps it at the, you know, top of your mind. When, you know, because absolutely when our brain gets an urge, it's not going to want to follow that protocol. You know, it's going to want to take the easy yeah. route, which is usually to eat, you know, to immediately get that relief. And so, you know, have something on your phone that you can immediately, you know, look at, have a sticky note in your car, have a, you know, sticky note on your computer at work or whatever it is, just to be able to as quickly as you can go to that protocol. Mm-hmm. There's nothing magic. There's nothing, it takes work and practice, and it's not going to be, you know, you're not going to ever be 100% successful at it, but it's just reminding your brain over and over again that this is what we're doing now.
Wait, I didn't hear the last part.
It's I said it's frozen. Oh yeah, your signal's not good. But I said it's just reminding your brain that this is what we're doing.
Maybe
now.
I should move.
Can you hear me?
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Better. And do you have any advice? Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay.
Do you have any advice about the writing part? Like, I have that as an end part, but I don't always have access to writing it mm-hmm. down.
I mean, you can definitely have something on your phone. You can have just a little bitty notebook. I have this little notebook here that I use, you know, that I use to put down little thoughts and stuff, just, you know, that goes in my purse, or, you know, even something smaller that you could put in your pocket, you know.
And what if you're with people, though? What do you do with that book, like if you're with people?
Well, I mean, what are you wanting to write down, or how are you wanting to look at something, or are you wanting to write something?
Oh, no, I can't see you. I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
Are you wanting to write something, or are you wanting to read something?
Oh, to write something, but like there's other people around.
I mean, you could get your phone and type something, like just use the Notes app on your phone and just type something in there. I use the Notes app all the time.
I know. I just feel like it's rude to, you know, have my phone at dinner.
Or you could excuse yourself and go to the bathroom and type on your phone there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right.
Okay. I mean, you can always separate yourself out from people wherever you are for just a brief moment to go and read something or type something in really quick. That's definitely, and that's a way for your brain to kind of, you know, take a, to kind of redirect itself.
Yeah, definitely the change of environment also is a big thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. So just try all those things. Let us know how it goes.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. All right. Bye. All right. Tanya, Heather, and Ronica. Hey.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call today.
Sure.
So I'm a April baby. And I was shopping for a upcoming vacation that we are going to have. And I had this really weird thought, and it's really bothering me. So I went, I'm 5 foot tall, and my, one of my main goals is just to have a normal BMI. So I currently weigh 137 pounds, and I was going shopping, and I picked up some jeans, and it was a size 6 jean, and I tried it on, and it fit great. And the thought I had in my head was, this is a manufacturer's error. So I went and got another pair of jeans and they fit. And so I said, well, that's the same manufacturer. So I tried like 4 different manufacturers of their jeans and they fit. And I wasn't happy. I was, my immediate thought was, in order to get to a normal BMI, which is my goal, then I'm supposed to weigh anywhere from like 100 and I think it's 112 pounds to 127 pounds. So my my goal was going to be 120 because then I gave myself that 7 pound leeway. So I'm thinking in my head, if I'm already at a size 6, then, and I have 17 pounds to lose, that's impossible. Because that'll mean that I'm like a size 0, and that's not healthy to me. And it's not, it was just so defeating. And then the thought was, man, are you one screwed up old lady to be thinking all these weird thoughts? But it wasn't a happy feeling, and I don't understand that at all.
So why is this BMI thing so important to you?
Well, because you know I'm in the healthcare industry, and you know everybody is. The thought in healthcare is that if you have a normal BMI, I'm 56 years old, if you have a normal BMI, that, you know, that's what you should stay within because that is healthy.
But and that's just a thought, right?
Well, statistics have shown you that if a patient is within a normal BMI, their longevity is good. They have a lower risk of heart disease, and we've got a lot of heart disease in our family.
But there's a lot of other people that don't have a normal BMI that also live long, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So BMI is a number, just like the number on the scale is a number. It's just a number, and the BMI is just some number that somebody just chose. I mean, yeah, it's got scientific, you know, work behind it. But it's still just somebody's opinion of what we're supposed to weigh.
Based on facts and research, I've never even considered not trying to reach something that I've always been told by facts that, you know, it's evidence based. It's not hocus pocus.
But that's coming into conflict with what you're thinking now.
Yes.
It right?
is. Yes.
And so what if you're just not supposed to, what if you're supposed to weigh what you weigh right now, and you'll be perfectly fine.
But when I go to the physician's office, based on me being 5 foot tall, he has me as overweight. He doesn't, you know, my
okay, husband, it's a word on a piece of paper that says overweight. You get to decide what you think and feel about that. That is just a word on a piece of paper. Right?
Well, yeah. But I mean, it has repercussions. I mean, you're
it may have repercussions, but it doesn't have, it's not a death sentence, right? What is important is that you feel good, that you feel good in your body, that you feel, you know, that you're healthy, that you like the way you look in the mirror, whatever's important to you, you know, to weigh a certain weight, you know, the size jeans that you want to wear and all that kind of stuff. So it's up to you what you want to weigh, not what anyone else tells you, right?
Mm-hmm. So what do you think about the weird thought that they're, because I, of course, you know, when you're in a dressing room, you've got mirrors all around you. Mm-hmm. And even the jeans fit perfectly fine. I didn't see myself. I don't see myself as thin when I look into a mirror at all. And it, to me, it sounded it was just, I was so aware of how much I was thinking that this had to be a fluke, so much in that I actually went and tried on, mm-hmm. like I said, 4 different manufacturers, and then realized, well, God, you're so weird in that. That was such an uncomfortable feeling to know that you can't believe what you see. You can't, I don't see that as, I didn't see that as a size 6. Mm-hmm. I meet people that are 6 and they look very thin. And I don't.
Well, you're wearing a size 6, you know, we don't know if those are manufacturer's errors or not, but you tried on a lot of size 6s. So I think we can probably say that you're a size 6. And so I think what you're realizing here is that it's not the, you know, the, it's not the manufacturer's error. It's not the size of the jeans. It's your thoughts, right? It's your thoughts about what you're seeing in the mirror. It's your thoughts about the number on the pair of jeans.
Right.
It's all mental for you. And so it's, you know, the facts are that you fit into size 6 jeans. You know, the facts are is that, you know, you there's a number on a scale. When you get on the scale, there's a number. Those are the facts. And it's what's really important is what we make all of that mean.
So should I just continue to journal that?
Yeah, definitely continue to journal, because you just kind of want to be aware of what's going on and what you're thinking right now. But, and then, you know, if you might want to change that, right? I mean, what if you just decide that you are perfectly happy at the number on this, at where you are right now? Because you have that option.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't have to have anything outside, scientific research, doctors, anything. You don't have to have anything, because there's people that walk around weighing, you know, 500 pounds, and they're perfectly fine, right, with themselves. And they don't want to change. And so you get to decide, you know, how much you want to weigh. No one, I mean, people can suggest that you weigh a certain amount. The BMI is a suggestion of what you should weigh, but it's always up to you. You are always in control. You make the choice. And if you decide that you're happy at this way, and someone had mentioned like, you know, blood work and all those kinds of things. I mean, if you're healthy in every way that you can measure, you know, and it's at this weight, or even not, you know, because again, there's people that are very unhealthy, but they do not want to change, and they're not going to, because they are in control. We're always in control of our choices and what we do, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I don't have any, like no blood pressure, cholesterol, all that stuff has always been, even when I was weighing, you know, my highest weight, that has always been perfect.
Well, I think for you, for your journaling, what I want you to do is really write about why it's so important for you to fall into this BMI scale.
Okay.
Because like I said, it's just a number.
Okay.
And you get to decide what you make that mean, and you get to decide what your number is right now and what you make that mean, you know, what your weight is right now. And you can just decide that you're happy at whatever weight you are. You know, of course, there's people who aren't members of PNP that weigh all kinds of ways, and they are just perfectly happy with where they are. They just decided that's where they want to be.
Okay.
And it's, and you know, again, it's just up to you.
Okay, so I'll do some more journaling on that.
Yeah.
I've just never had that awareness before. Mm-hmm.
And I think for you, it's just something new, right? It's just an awareness that you have. It's something new that you, so you don't want to just, you know, you just want to kind of sit in this awareness for a while, right? And just, you know, just kind of be very curious about it. Just be real curious about what your brain is telling you. Sometimes it's telling you, you know, the truth. Sometimes it's lying to you. That's important to know too. You know, our brains tell us lies all the time. So we don't have to believe everything that, you know, every sentence that comes into our minds. So right now it's just being aware of everything that's in our minds and whether we want to believe it or not.
Okay.
And just starting there.
Okay. Thank
you. All right. Well, keep just journaling and all that. And then always just come back on with me or Kathy if you want to talk more.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye. Bye-bye. Okay, Tanya. All right, Heather, Ronica, and Michelle. So let me make sure. All kinds of advice about things, BMI and all that. Let's see, someone said, it's okay to be okay with the size you are. Some people can justify being a size 20. I'm hoping to help address the health issue of being overweight. Understand we are in control, but in actuality, we are not. Hence, we are here. I need some clarity in this conversation, which I know will be addressed. We're always in control of what we weigh. And then, you know, and then we, you know, but we're also, you know, we accept the consequences of you know, whatever choices we have, right? So, you know, at PNP, we don't tell you what to weigh. We don't tell you anything. And so it's just, it's always up to you. And then, you know, someone who weighs 120 pounds could get cancer, and someone who weighs 500 pounds could get cancer. So it's just, we're always making our own choices. So okay. Hey. Hi, how are you?
I'm doing okay.
Good. What's going on?
Well, I'm the one that posted in the tribe the other night.
You'll have to remind me what it was about.
Hang on just a sec. It's okay. Oh, okay. I posted about, after listening to Corinne's morning thing where she was talking about wanting more, and I had talked about how I really wanted more, but I kind of felt like I needed to just be satisfied with what I had in life. And I mean, just kind of a little more background. I just joined in April. Mm-hmm. And I'm moving through things very slowly. Like I'm only through 2 modules.
That's fine.
I'm trying to do the 4 basics. Mm-hmm. And really just do a lot of thinking about myself and about my life, the emotional stuff, because I have gained and lost weight, you know, so many times, to the point where I've been able to physically do 2 Ironman and do a lot of great things. But then I realized I was using like the exercise as a crutch in a way I could just eat whatever I wanted.
Mm.
And when I wasn't able to exercise because of my mom being really sick for a year and some other stuff going on. And so I was still eating, but not actually working out. It all started to come back, all the weight. But anyway, so I'm just trying to work through, like one of the things that you said on Facebook was that those were just my thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that a lot of my issues are around, I have a tendency to get kind of envious of a lot of the people that I am around because financially we just don't have a lot of things. And then I try and tell myself all the time, but you have a safe place to live. You have food on the table and you have a good job and, you know, and all of these things. So why can't you just be happy with that? And I kind of get in these arguments with myself in my head over it.
So why can't you just be happy with that?
I don't know exactly why I can't be happy with just that. I think it's just because I feel like, and I know this isn't entirely true. It's like, I know that people who are more financially secure still have problems,
mm-hmm.
still have to work through things. But I just think sometimes if we were a little more financially secure, then I wouldn't be quite so stressed with all the other stressors that we have going on with our daughter and taking care of her and, you know, and just stuff like that. So I don't know.
So you want things to be different than they are.
I do, but I'm like, I don't even know what different could look like
mm-hmm.
at this point. I mean, I live in a state where I've grown up my whole life, and now housing is absolutely like outrageous. I mean, you know, so like the idea of ever even owning a place again doesn't even seem like something feasible. So I live in this constant state of, we have a great landlord, but he's getting older and he's like 75, and I worry all the time. This is going to be the year he's going to say, well, I'm just selling the place. We've lived here for 9 years. And so there's just like those constant worries kind of in the back of my mind. And yeah, I have a lot of friends and family that are like, well, we'll figure it out if something like that happens to you. But I hate that instability, you know?
But seeing that as instability is your thought, right? That's your choice. I mean, if you got evicted, you know, or, you know, I mean, just if you lost your place, you'd find a new one, right?
Well, hopefully. I mean,
you would figure it out, right? Like your friend said, you would figure it out.
Yeah, we would figure it out. And I don't know.
it's just a matter of reminding yourself of that, right? Like, because I mean, it's very easy for us to worry. I mean, worry, my favorite thing that I hear about worry is worry pretends to be necessary. We think that we have to worry about things, and it doesn't. We don't. We can just choose to think, you know what, whatever happens, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely have to a lot of times try and remind myself.
Yes.
Not to worry. And I also spend a lot of my time trying to, I mean, I love both my parents. My mother passed away and I love my dad, but I feel like I don't want to live my life like a life of regret over decisions made because they've happened. And so I'm really trying to work through, you know, a lot of that too.
Yeah. It sounds like you don't want to like live in the past, right? And like think and wish that the past was different.
Right.
Yeah.
I can't change it now. I mean, it's happened.
Mm-mm. And that's in, you know, and you're not probably not to the model yet, not to a lot of thought work yet, but that's just a fact, right? The past is your fact now. It's just a fact. And you get to decide how you want to think and feel about whatever has happened in the past. Because it's done, you know?
Yeah.
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 So, yeah, that, and I mean, just, you know, and where you are right now is just, like I was saying with Tanya, is just, you know, you just got a lot of awareness, a lot of, you know, y'all newbies right now. It's just, you're starting to do this work and things are starting to come up and you're starting to kind of realize like, wow, I've been choosing these thoughts for a long time and they're not, you know, and they're not helping me so much. And it's all about just the awareness right now, and not, it's hard because you get aware of stuff and you're like, oh, I want to change it because this doesn't feel good. And right. It's like, you just have to sit in, you know, in your awareness for a while, because, you know, you've thought this certain way for so long that you can't just, you know, quickly change over to something else. So okay. It's just being, you know, aware of what's going on and having acceptance and compassion for yourself that, like, it's okay that I've thought this stuff for so long. It's okay that I worry about this stuff. It's okay. But, and it's okay that I've chosen that. And I know now that I have a different choice if I want to choose something different, but it's going to take time. It's going to take practice, and that's okay too. You know, and it's just being that, it's that really kind of kind voice to yourself.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So just, you know, just kind of keep journaling, keep just bringing things up. But again, don't, you know, when you feel resistance to it, stop and say, no, this is just me doing this really important work on myself. And I'm just going to work on accepting it and being, you know, being okay with it before I try to change it.
Okay.
Yeah. But I do want you, speaking of worry, have you heard the Worry Bucket podcast?
I listened to it.
Okay.
Before I joined the tribe at one point.
Yeah, listen to it again. Listen to it again. Okay. You're kind of in a different, you know, and you always, and this is for everybody, you know, listen to things multiple times because you're always at a different place, right? You're always in a different mental space when you hear something. But I think you'll probably get something different out of it this time. And so, yeah, so it's all about, you know, kind of assigning a time to worry about things and putting everything in that worry bucket, the specific time, and then you get to move on and you don't worry anymore, you know. And, but it just really kind of puts worry into perspective and you realize, wait a minute, I don't even want to worry. Like even I, you know, the time that I scheduled to worry, I don't want to worry because I'd rather be something else with my time. And so it really teaches you how worry is just not, it's not productive. It's not necessary. And it's, you know, you probably want to do something else with your time. So, but yeah, okay. Listen to that one again.
Okay.
All right. Anything else?
Thank you. No, I'm really thankful to have found PMP, and I'm totally content with, I mean, I just wanted to share with everyone that, you know, I think I'm down 9.6 pounds.
That's awesome.
Since I joined, and I've got about 40 to go. Mm-hmm. But I'm really okay with going slow because I have lost weight so many different ways in the past. I know I can lose it again, but this time I want to work through all this emotional stuff too.
Yes.
When I get there, you know, I'm working on the whole, like, being happy.
Yes.
Get there, I can maintain.
Yes. Oh, yes, absolutely. And it just gives me chills because you are doing it. You know, you're doing it the way that you want to live it, right? You're doing it, you're going at your own pace. And I really think it's important for everybody to, you know, for everybody to know that, you know, you're going at your own pace. You're, you know, you were at module 2 right now. You're just taking your time with it. Everybody can go at their own pace. They can go back and listen to modules. Again, like I said, you're always at a different place. And so it will benefit right. you in a different way. There's no timeline. There's no deadlines. Everything will always be available to you. So just do it the way that you know is best for you, because you know what is best, right? There aren't any rules. And so I'm proud of you for taking it at your own pace and the pace that is right for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I did have some moments of panic, like in week two, where I was like, oh my God, I'm just not going through this enough. And then I realized that threw me off, because then I didn't do my plan for a few days because I felt like I was behind. And
No, you're never behind at PMP. I say that 10 times a day. You're never behind at PMP. And that's what's so awesome, is that, you know, you may feel behind at work, or you may feel behind, you know, with your family or whatever, but it's like PNP is a place where you never have to feel behind. There's always someone. This is the other thing, is that I'm so proud of you for reaching out right in the group, and that you'll always find someone who's right where you are, you know, right at going at the pace that you are. So I just, you know, reach out when you need to, and you're taking full advantage of everything we offer, for sure.
Okay.
Thanks. All right. Take care, Heather.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye. Okay. We got Ronica, Michelle, and Lee lined up. Hi.
Hi.
Hi. It's dark. Can't see you very good. That's okay. Are you there? Oh, you're frozen. See if you come back. Are you there? Hello? Well, darn it. Olive says, I think BMI is just a measurement tool. It will give you a good idea of what's going on, but it's just one measurement, just like weight is just one measurement. Absolutely. BMI is just one measurement of your, just a measurement, right? Just like anything else. Okay, Ronica, I'm going to take you back to attendee because you're frozen. So check your connection and all that, and you can raise your hand again. Michelle, I'm going to get you up. Well, it's 1 o'clock already. Hi. Hey, I had you on my list. I was looking for you.
Oh, I've never done this before, so it's different for me.
Well, you're here, so I'm glad you came on.
Well, thank you.
So remind everybody kind of what's going on.
Okay, so I made a long kind of a post yesterday. I'm an April baby. I've tried multiple diets in my life, and I've been successful at some of them, but just like Corrine will tell you, if they worked, you wouldn't need me. But I did do weight loss surgery in 2003, and I do consider that successful to some degree, because I was once 365 pounds. Mm-hmm. I am just below 200. I fluctuate anywhere in the 180s to the 190s. But since joining the tribe, I feel like I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. Yes, I know I'm supposed to be drinking water, sleeping, making this plan that I cannot stick to is one of my issues.
So what do you not know? You know about the four basics. What do you not know?
Well, like, I feel guilty because I think, oh, I shouldn't have this fruit because it's a carb. Oh, I just screwed it up. It wasn't on my plan. So now I don't write plans, and mm-hmm. I'm just, I feel like I'm just sabotaging myself and spinning my wheels and wasting my money. And even though
what do you think all of that is coming from? Because those are all just kind of actions, right? You're questioning things. You're not making plans. What are you thinking that's causing you to do all that stuff, sabotaging?
That's what I'm trying to figure out, because I know I really would love to reach my goal. Mm-hmm. And I'm not quite sure what that is, the weight goal. But
right.
What?
Do you think you can? Do you think it's possible?
I'm not sure. Because my whole adult life, I think I've been overweight. So I've never done it before, you know? I want to. Mm-hmm. I had a goal this year. I turned 49 in February, and I thought, you know, I'm so close. I'm within at that point, 40 pounds of my goal weight. And I thought, there's no way I can't do this by the time I turn 50. And now here we are. It's the end of May. Mm-hmm. And I'm still 45, 46 pounds away from 150 pounds. I'm closing in on my time frame and I'm not doing anything about it. I'll say, okay, tomorrow I'm going to get up and walk. I'm going to make my plan. My plans are never realistic.
Okay.
Even though I think they are. I mean, I think, okay, I'm going to plan popcorn because I'm going to eat popcorn. Mm-hmm. And I feel guilty for eating popcorn. So then I restrict. Oh, those are carbs. I shouldn't have those. That's too much fat. I shouldn't have that. Should I be counting calories? Should I go back on Weight Watchers and do that alongside with this?
Let's make a few decisions just mm-hmm. for the heck of it, just for shits and giggles.
Okay.
Is it okay for you to have fruit on this plan?
It's okay for me to have anything on this plan, really.
Okay. So we don't even have to answer ask the rest of the question. Are we counting calories on this plan?
No.
Okay. Then that is no longer confusing to you. So no longer ever ask yourself that again.
Okay.
No longer ever ask yourself, is fruit okay? No longer ask yourself, is anything okay? Right?
Okay. Right.
Because I want you to make a list of all these decisions that we make today. Because okay. So then when you hear yourself asking yourself, well, I don't know if I'm supposed, or carbs, are carbs okay?
They really should be.
They are, yes.
Because it's restrictive thinking, right?
Yes. So we don't tell you not to eat anything, right, on this plan.
Right.
So when you hear those questions come in, that when you hear that confusion come in, you just have to say, no, those questions are already answered. And you can go back to your list if you want to, you know, of mm-hmm. carbs are okay, fruit's okay, anything is okay, right? Because mm-hmm. that's what we do around here. So, you know, but I think maybe for you, it's kind of easier for you to kind of indulge in that confusion rather than following your plan. Right? Because, I mean, mm-hmm. it comes down to you write a plan and you follow it.
And I want to see results.
And you want to see results. And that involves following a plan, right?
Yeah,
not perfectly,
right.
necessarily, right? You don't have to be perfect. We don't ever have to be perfect. And you're not going to be perfect.
Nobody is, right?
Yeah. But making a realistic plan and following it, for the most part, mm-hmm. is part of this whole weight loss deal. So
yes.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, how do I make my realistic plan?
Okay.
I mean, without restricting myself or without feeling like I'm restricting myself.
So you make a plan and then you look at it and say, is this restricting? Yes or no?
Okay.
What would a plan look like? Let's just make an example plan, or let's make your plan. Have you made your plan for today?
Nope.
Okay. Let's make a plan for the rest of the day. Right now.
All right.
Get your paper out.
I got it.
Okay. So what time is it there? Have you had lunch?
I'm Central Time and
okay.
I had toast for breakfast and that was probably a couple hours ago.
Okay. So what's on the plan for the rest of the day? Next time
I do,
what's it going to be?
I have a graduation open house to go to at 2:00. So mm-hmm. I figured I would have, you know, she'll probably have vegetable tray, cake or cupcakes or something. So mm-hmm. I figured I would have a little bit of this or a little bit of that.
Okay. So, do you think you'll be at your -2 by then?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I'm starting to feel a little hungry anyway.
Okay. So we don't know exactly what it's going to be, but this is a really great example for a lot of folks who, you know, are going to some sort of event this weekend for the holiday or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you going to write down on your plan for this event?
I have tried doing good, better, best. Mm-hmm. And I always... when that happens, if we've gone out to dinner or something like that, I end up getting the burger and the fries, which isn't really.
That, where does that fall on the good, better, best? Or does, is that on good, better, best?
Well, in my restrictive thinking, I would think, well, the fries are full of fat and bad carbs, and the bun on the burger is bad, but, you know, the cheese, because I did keto for a while.
But we're not doing that anymore.
But we're not restrictive. So, I mean, to me, good, better, best would be, you know, if she's having a veggie tray, choose some yummy veggies, because I love all of that kind of thing. I do like healthy eating. Mm-hmm. So, but then being also able to have a cupcake or whatever. So even though that's not a best thing,
so it whatever might be an
indulgence.
What'd you say?
An indulgence or...
Well, you can just say... I mean, like exactly what you said, you can say, you know, I'm going to have veggies, and mm-hmm. if there's a dessert that I like, I will have the dessert.
Have a dessert?
Have a dessert.
I mean,
if you want it. Yeah, like a dessert mm-hmm. if you want it or something like
that. If I'm still hungry or if I'm not hungry, then maybe take one to go for later or something. So I don't feel
whatever you want and whatever is realistic to you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And this is what I do. And this is just for everybody. This, a lot of times, like if I'm going to a baby shower or a party or uh-huh. something like that, I will say, I'm going to have one plate of food.
Okay.
And a dessert. I mean, like if I have no idea what they're going to have, I know it's going to be like chips and dip and veggies and fruit or whatever. I'm just going to have one plate. So I'm not going to, you know, stand over the bowl and grab things. I'm going to get a mm-hmm. plate and I'm going to make a plate. And so, and of course that's all based on my hunger scale and that kind of thing. And then I will say, and if there is a dessert that I like, I will have some of that if I want, or I will have two or three bites, or, you know, you want to be as specific as you can, but when you mm-hmm. don't know what's going to be there, you just don't want to, you want to do the best you can to allow there not to be any kind of wiggle room. Right. And so, you know, it's just, that's, you have to kind of just play with that and see what works.
Okay.
But,
the planning part has been an issue. So mm-hmm. that's, I think yesterday I had made that post on Facebook and you answered and said, get on the coaching call.
Yeah.
And, making a decision about one basic that I'm going to follow for a week.
Yes.
I think, you know, I have my water down mm-hmm. because I drink coffee, unsweet tea, and I drink a lot of water. So I think that one's okay.
Okay.
The sleep can be a hit or miss just because I don't always sleep well. Mm-hmm. I try, but to stay at least 7 hours. But so I think the one thing that I should work on probably is the planning.
Yes.
The 24-hour plan, whether it's perfect or not, or, you know, whatever.
Never gonna be perfect.
It's never right.
And it's always a work in progress. It's always a learning experience and all of that. So just do the best you can and then assess at the end of the day and learn from it and just move on to the next day. But always make a plan every day.
So I'm going to work on making sure I make the plan.
The only way to fail, here's the deal. The only way to fail at planning is to not plan.
This is true. This is true.
Right?
That's true. And then once I feel like I have that down, I guess we should always be in tune to our hunger scale, but I'm not really. I know when I'm hungry.
Maybe just focus on the planning right now. Just focus on the planning. If you're not quite to the, just commit to making a plan every day and assessing it at the end of the day.
Okay.
Don't even worry about the hunger scale stuff yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
So kind of just go back to the beginning.
Yes. Back to basics and back to, like you said, you've got your water down, sleep, you know, mm-hmm. sounds like you can kind of work on as you do this other mm-hmm. stuff, but then just, mm-hmm. I want you to, okay, this is May 25th,
mm-hmm.
you know, 30 days of realistic plans.
Okay.
I want you to come back on here and come back and tell me that you did 30 realistic plans.
Okay.
Or post in the tribe and tag mm-hmm. me, but I want you to make that commitment.
Okay.
Okay. So the 25th of June, I want mm-hmm. you to do a post. If not before, obviously you can post mm-hmm. before too, but on the 25th of June, I want you to do a post for me and tell me kind of what your realistic planning was and, you know, how it went, what you learned, what worked for you, what didn't work for you, all that.
Okay. Sounds good. Yeah. I can do that.
Okay. So what about the rest of the day? Let's finish out your plan for the rest of the day.
Okay. So for dinner, I don't know what we're doing yet. I could say we're going out to eat, but I don't know. So, just make a good, better, best choice. I could make something at home. I could, I don't know.
So why don't you know? Can you make a decision right now sitting here?
I guess I could. Mm-hmm. I could.
That may be part of the issue, right? It's just the decision making.
It is. It's a big deal.
Yeah.
Just making the decisions.
Yes.
So, yes,
so what are you going to do for dinner? Let's decide.
I'm going to pull some meat out of the freezer and make a taco salad.
Okay. Taco salad. All right.
Okay.
So write that down. Anything else?
I'll want something to snack on.
Okay. Okay. Let's get it on the plan.
All right. I love to snack on fruit. So.
Okay.
Right
get
now.
Get that on there too. Just totally realistic in terms of like, you can always, you know, like not eat everything on your plan. I mean, that's always an option, right? You don't have to eat everything that you plan, but you want to like over, especially at first when y'all are working on realistic planning, you want to over plan. So you want to have more food rather than less food on your plan.
Okay. Right?
Because if you have more food, then you know, it's easier for you to follow your plan, right?
Mm-hmm,
and so you want to have more days of following your plan rather than not. So, so just over plan at first and just give yourself, you know, some options and things like that, just to get good practice at planning realistically and stuff like that.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds good.
All right. So you got your plan for today?
Yep.
All right. Yep. All right. Well, I will, and I mean, and in the in between time, if you need to tag me or, you know, have any questions or whatever, and ask coaches, of course, we're in there too. So.
Okay. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me.
Sure.
All right.
Thanks. To you later. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. Lee, and then we'll try Ronica again. Hey, let me get you. There we go. You're sideways.
You got me?
Yes, but you're sideways.
Here, I'll flip it.
There we go. Okay.
Is that better? Okay.
Yes.
I'm very jealous of your bangs. They make me want bangs.
You need to cut
the forehead for it, though.
It's just some scissors.
I know. I don't have enough hair. So I have sort of a bizarre... So I'll tell you my thought, and then you can sort of take it where you want to go. But I'd say the last couple of weeks, I have had 3 days where I did pretty much what I was supposed to do. Like my habit tracker, I checked off most of my stuff. There was a guy was 4 ounces short on my water, but generally speaking, I was right in the range. And I felt so uncomfortable at the end of that day. Just like,
you're kind of cutting out.
You know, like,
any way you could stop your video.
Oh, maybe it's
the signal is not great.
Let me see if that does it. Nope, that didn't fix it. You just put me back in the queue because I don't. I'm trying to.
No. Okay. Can, I took my can you out. Stop your video? Do you know how to stop your video on your phone?
Yes, I do.
Sometimes that helps.
Stop video. Minimize. Meeting, virtual background, raise hand, disconnect audio. Stop video.
Keep going.
Okay.
You sound okay. Keep going. I think you'll be.
Oh, I do. Do you want to bring my video back or just do audio?
Just do audio. I love this picture of you anyway.
Oh, do you like that? That's my podcast picture. So essentially I had a couple of days the last couple of weeks where I did pretty much everything I was supposed to do. And I felt There would be moments where I would be like in my flow, right? And I wouldn't be thinking about it. But then there would be these moments where I would realize everything was okay. And I was very uncomfortable. And it's like, I didn't know what to do with my energy because there was like nothing to really beat myself up about. And there was nothing like hanging over my head. But also it wasn't like I felt this euphoric I've arrived feeling, which sometimes I feel. It was just this kind of, I don't know if the feeling is contentment, but it's something. And I did not like it. It made me want to do something to stop feeling it.
Okay, so welcome to like normal life, right?
Oh, I don't like it.
Where?
I mean, I like it cognitively, but it felt so, I don't know. I don't even know what the word is. I'm feeling it like right now too, because I'm kind of having one of those days where I'm like looking at my stuff going, shit, I'm fine.
Yeah. Because we're so used to like, if we've been gaining and losing weight and all that kind of stuff for so long, we're used to these high highs and low lows, just up and down and up and down and up and down. And it's a constant struggle.
Yep,
and
that's a lot of it.
We're used to the struggle and all of that. And when we start to get things figured out and the struggle, it's no longer a struggle. It's just, I just have these four basics I do. And, you know, this is my life now. And there's, you know, the drama kind of fades away, and then, you know, what's left, right? Yeah. Are you there? Okay. I'm gonna take you back. Oh yeah. You're not good. I'm gonna take you back, Lee. I'm just going to talk to you here for a second. No, I can't even.
Yeah, it's intense. You know, it's just different.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I have a bad connection.
Yeah, your connection is not great. Okay, Lee, I'll just talk to you this way. Yeah, it's just different, right? I mean, and different can be very uncomfortable for us as humans. Because when we've been doing something for the same way for so long, and really, a lot of times we are used to hard, we're used to struggling, we're used to high highs and low lows. We've been able to kind of distract ourselves with that for a long time. And then when we really start kind of, and this relates to the four stages of weight loss, which is in the Future Self No BS module. When you get to stage three and especially into stage four, when things are just kind of, you get used to things and, you know, you're making your plan every day. There's just no drama. There's, I'm at this place now where, I have all this food that I really love and that's, you know, part of my protocol and helps me maintain my weight loss. And, even this morning, y'all, I was like, I had not planned to start working until about 10. And Brad and I had been working out in the yard, and then I just came back in and I was just kind of puttering around the house, and I was just like, well, what am I going to do? And, you know, I might watch a TV show or whatever, but it's just like, you know, you really, when you get all this food and weight loss stuff figured out, what is going to be left, right? What is going to be left in your life when you don't have to concentrate on how to lose weight? You know, what a realistic plan means when when all of your food is planned and you prepped it or whatever you do, and like none of those decisions need to be made. I mean, how do you want to spend your time? And that's a really interesting question for you to ask, even if you're not there yet. You want to be prepared for that, right? You want to come up with kind of strategies on when that time does come. Because it will come if you keep doing these four basics for long enough. It will come. There will be a time when you've lost all your weight. You're not looking for the scale to give you a payoff or to give you that, you know, that rush every week. And you're just doing what you're doing. How are you going to, what are you going to do? How are you going to spend your time? What do you want to do with your life? So think about that now, right? Think about your future self now. And it's exciting to think about, right? Because I think about my life now and it's just like, wow, the possibilities are endless, you know, to spend your time however you want. So, and to really think about what your priorities are in life. I've been doing some work in that area as well. Okay. It sounds like everybody's talking about the Worry and the Worry Bucket podcast, which is podcast 65. the PNP podcast. Yes, I love just like, again, if I'm going to a party or going to a birthday party or baby shower or a reception or whatever, it's like one plate of food. And, you know, I can put whatever I want on that plate, but that just kind of keeps me, it keeps it simple. I know what my good, better, best choices are going to be. You know, I may make some choices that maybe aren't even on the good side, but I'm just going to have one plate of food. And so that's how I kind of keep it simple. Let's see. Okay. So yeah, y'all listen to that worry bucket. If y'all have any questions, you can put them in the Q&A as well, because we've got another, and also raise your hand if you want to get coached. We have Ronica, and then that's it. So y'all raise your hand if you want a little coaching. We get done. Are you there, Ronica?
I am. Let me okay. The video. There I am.
Okay.
Sorry about that. My son uses my computer, and who knows what happened, but it gave me more light.
Yes. Yes, I can see you.
So I need some help with some thinking, but I got a bit of a backstory of there's several things culminating into what I'm dealing with right now.
Okay.
So I'm an April baby. I have been gaining and losing the same 3 pounds since I started. A lot of the gaining coincides with traveling that I've done on weekends, like Easter, and then we took a little vacation. So stuff like that. But, and then a week from Monday, this coming Monday, I'm leaving for a 3-week trip to Europe. Okay. And we're taking a backpack. Like, we each have a backpack. My husband and I are going. And so I can't take my binder. I'm going to take a notebook mm-hmm. to journal my travels. Mm-hmm. So anyhow, so I'd been struggling with some consistency. I'm firmly in stage 2, I feel like. So I did the habit tracker, and I was seeing where things weren't working. And then I'm also a middle school teacher. And last week was the last week of school. And when we got to school on Monday, we found out that one of our 6th graders had died unexpectedly.
Oh my
goodness, okay. So nothing happened last week. No plans, no assessing. Water was terrible. Sleep was horrible. It was a bad week. So my inner fat girl is trying to convince me to just quit. You know, we've got one more week, then we're 3 weeks on vacation. You haven't been successful on vacation yet. How do you expect to do it now? But then on the other side, I'm sitting here going, I can do 2 to 2, which I still struggle with, but I can try. Mm-hmm. I can, once we get adjusted to the time schedule, I can sleep, mm-hmm. I can drink water. I posted in my accountability group today, and they were all saying the same things to me. You can sleep, you can drink your water, you can even plan on your phone or in your little journal or stuff. But they encouraged me to get coached mm-hmm. on how to deal with this thought process.
Right.
Because, I mean, it's like swinging.
Right. Right.
I can't do this to, yes, I can, to no, you can't. And it's just back and forth.
Okay. So I'm going to say, yes, you can. Right. I'm over on that side of the.
And I definitely don't want to start over, you know?
No. Here's the deal. Like, you know, this is, I like to say, like, this is a perfect opportunity for you to, you know, for you to practice all this stuff, right? School's out. Mm-hmm. You've got time to focus on this. So you've got a week to kind of prep, right? In terms of, you know, you want to set yourself up for, you know, being gone for 3 weeks. And I'm totally jealous, by the way, of your trip. But, okay. So this next week, I want you to, you know, get your 4 basics dialed in terms of, you know, so that the 3 weeks after that, when you're gone, it is like, you know, easy to do, right? Water and sleep, like you said, those two are easy. But this next week, I want you to plan every day and, you know, just have it be really good practice leading up to your trip.
Okay.
And yeah, so how are you going to plan on your trip though? We need to decide that.
My initial thought was, like I said, I'm going to take a little journal just to kind of journal what we've been doing. But they mentioned today the phone, you know, just plugging it into my phone, because I will always have my phone. Mm-hmm. I may not always have time every single day to sit, mm-hmm. you know. I'm an early riser. My husband's a night owl. So usually there is some time that I'm awake that he's not, that I could. But in case I can't, I think the phone is going to be a better, more consistent, reliable choice.
Like the Notes app or something? Yeah,
Notes or like Google Pages or whatever it is, you know, something like
that. Simple. I even was picturing I have my planner right here. Literally like up at the corner, just like the little corner. Make your little plan every day if you do end up writing it. But just, yeah, and you know, because you might be like journaling every, you know, what you're doing every day or whatever, and you could just put that up at the corner. But absolutely, just like decide what app you're going to use. And I want you to do that next week too. I want you to practice doing that next week so that it is, you know, you can use your regular planner too if you want to. But yeah, go ahead and just get into the practice of, you know, what app is, you know, you're going to use, and just start doing it next week. I think that'll be great practice for you.
Okay.
But let's back up, because those are all actions, right? So let's back up to the thought again. So what do you want to practice thinking? I mean, you said, you know, I can do this. Is that kind of the thought that you want to practice, or do you believe that you can do this? Where are you exactly on that side of the wing?
I don't know. I know that I have grit. Mm. I know that I've got some grit to me. I had a friend tell me that a few years ago, and it has stuck with me. And man, that's gotten me through some stuff too. Mm. I know I've got grit. I can do it. It's not hard. It's not difficult. You know, especially when I'm traveling.
I just got chills because I just thought about something. When I first started like my last weight loss journey with PNP, because I actually lost weight twice with PNP, kind of before we had thought work and then after, I was on like a 10-day trip to Europe right when I started. And this was when we were first starting thought work and all the four basics and the hunger scale and everything. I ended up losing like 9 pounds during those 10 days because we were walking so much, and you know, you're going to be walking a ton. Yeah. And if you just got a backpack. And absolutely, like, yeah, I just kind of like, I thought about, you know, like, yeah, I think I've got grit too. And I just decided that I was going to, I wrote down absolutely everything that I ate. Like, I didn't really, restrict. I didn't really, I think I made just kind of normal choices. I made choices. Yeah. And I think I was following my hunger scale pretty much. This just is all coming back to me now. And, but I made the commitment, and just like you're making the commitment, right, to plan and assess every day. And I made the commitment to just write down everything I ate every day, just to be aware of it. And so, so I think for you, it's like from that grit, what is the thought that you can keep practicing every day when you know, while you're there, when you're planning and all of that? Go ahead.
That's where I'm struggling.
I keep thinking, like, when I think of grit, I think of, I can fucking do this. Like, I can fucking do this or something like that. Right.
Yeah.
And the reason I thought about my experience was like, oh my God, how awesome was that? Was that I lost weight when I was on this trip. And you can do that too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, you have the tools and you know what's important during this trip, right? Mm-hmm. And tell me what's important during this trip. Why are you going on this trip?
It's my husband and I's 20th anniversary in July, but this trip coincides with a tour. I went a couple of years ago with some friends that we took a tour. And when we were there, we went to London, Scotland, and Ireland. Mm-hmm. And when we were there, we loved Ireland. So when we came back, we planned another tour. And my husband was like, okay. I mean, eventually, at first he wasn't, but then he was like, yeah, I'll go with you. And he had brain surgery a couple of years ago, and flying sometimes kind of messes with his head a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, well, we'll fly out a few days early and we'll fly back a day later, just, you know, so we're on our own travel. And then it just kind of expanded to 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And so it's just my husband and I for the first 10 days, and then, or 10 or 12, it might even be longer than that. And we have no destination. I mean, we're landing in Zurich and we know we have to be in Dublin on the 14th. So we're leaving the 3rd. We have to be in Dublin the 14th. So, you know, so.
Yeah. Yeah. So what, I mean, so it sounds like what's really important, I mean, you know, connection, right, with your husband, just being, being connected with him, seeing what you want to see, and just having adventures and all that kind of stuff, right? And I mean, the food is part of it. It's, you know, it's a small part of it, right?
Exactly. And you, it's not all of it.
I mean, you know, you plan what you, you know, you, I mean, you can literally just say, I'm going to follow my hunger scale every day, drink my water, and that's it. I mean, that can be your plan every day. It can be as simple as that. So, but yeah, but just really focus on what is really important, why you are really on that trip. And, you know, yeah, you're going to have some special meals and that kind of stuff, but that's just one part of it.
Yeah.
And so yeah. So what do you think, I mean, and you may need to kind of just do some journaling on this, but what do you want to practice thinking while you're there?
I know it's that I can do this.
Yeah.
Because I can. Even though I necessarily haven't on my previous trips, doesn't mean that I can't. I can't.
I think it's time for you to start building some evidence, start building some proof that you can, right?
Okay. Yeah.
And so, and it's time to quit thinking about all these past experiences, because you're living in the past right now, right? You're living in the past of all these other vacations and travel experiences. And yeah, you can absolutely do it. And it's time to build some proof, you know, that you can do it.
Yeah. So this week, do that, build some proof. And the whole thought work is, I can do this. I can do this.
And you can add a few cuss words in there if you want to. but I think another really good thought is like, this is, this is the perfect time, right? This is the, you know, because, you know, when you swing to that other end of the pendulum, it's like, oh, you know, I'll just fuck it. And for, you know, while I'm going to be gone and all that stuff. No, like this is the perfect time for me to figure this out and to get ready for the trip this week. And then just, you know, implement what I've planned for those 3 weeks and really focus on what's important during the trip.
Yeah. And now that you're saying that, it's almost like this is the perfect time for me to practice life.
Yeah. Yes.
Because we like to travel. Mm-hmm. And then, like I said, a couple of weekends, it was a quick trip to New Orleans. And so we like to do stuff like that. So instead of just throwing the baby out with the bathwater every time we travel, you know.
Yes. And like, again, prove to yourself that you can travel and lose weight or maintain your weight or decide, you know, what you want to do. And then also think about at the end, right? I was saying, like, how awesome was it that I lost weight on this trip? Yeah. And then, you know, do you want to, you know, how do you want to feel at the end of this trip? You know, how do you want to think at the end of this trip when you're like on the plane ride back home? Really work on visualizing that. Like, oh my gosh, I did this. I practiced life and I built all this evidence that I can, you know, that I can live life and I can lose weight the way I'm going to live it by traveling and all of that.
Okay.
Awesome. All right.
All right. Thank you so much.
Okay, well, let us know how it goes after you get back. Have a great trip.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye. Okay. Okay, Carla. Hey, there you are.
Which way does the phone need to be? Hi.
That's right. Yes, I can see you. You're upright now.
Awesome. okay, so I've coached with you before.
I think so.
I keep moving things next day to the list because, you know, I can't get through 30 in, at once. So
okay.
That's going better.
Good.
That's going better. But what I wanted to coach on today is my supervisor.
Okay.
So last fall I switched jobs. I got laid off and I found another job and I really like where I'm at. The supervisor is a little challenging and I don't know how to keep my emotions in check. I'm somebody who wears my feelings, you know, just right out there. I'm a very open book. And she's just a very coarse, hard, unfeeling sort of individual.
Okay, so and those are all your thoughts, right, about her?
Yeah, probably backed up by everybody else I work with.
Well,
the horror stories this poor woman has put people through is kind of shocking, really.
Well, but let's kind of separate out the facts, right? The facts from the thoughts. Because what are the facts of the situation? Tell me some facts.
Okay, so I was hired into one position.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something I'd never done before. I was an executive assistant for years, and now this was processing loans. And, you know, the people pleaser in me and the one who lacks a little self-confidence in certain things, because this was a new area for me, I thought I was understanding and doing everything just fine, but boy, she just would correct me in a very harsh way. Before I knew it, I was being changed into a different position. But things that she was calling me out on were no different than what other people had done in the past. So when you hear stories, it's like, I know this is all sounds like feelings and thoughts, but it's just unbelievable what she's gotten away with and her behavior. So yesterday, after the day before, the position I'm in now, I don't have to deal a lot with her, but she comes back up. I know I'm the last person you want to see today. And she corrects me really harshly and in front of other coworkers. Like, don't take me into, you know, the office or ask me somewhere else. It's, you know, I don't know how this person trained you, but, and then that voice just shocked, you know.
You're giving me a couple of facts, but I'm not getting a lot of facts here. I'm getting a lot of thoughts in terms of she corrected me harshly. Those are all your thoughts about what happened.
Mm-hmm. True. This I know.
Okay.
So just the way she reprimands people.
So you think she's going to change?
No, okay. Not at all. I know this.
So how you want to show up?
Well, I actually did my first real model. I mean,
Okay. Cause I got a model in my head, but okay. Good.
So, and then, my cousin who got me into PNP, mm-hmm. We went through it a little bit this morning. She's like, you still need to get on the call. But, so I put Tammy's actions. That's my supervisor. It's just not very professional. Really the way it's her actions.
I would rather you be more specific than that and be really clear. And I want direct quotes of what she says, right?
Okay.
And what are there any other actions or is it just things that she has said?
Well,
or things that, yeah.
You can tell she's nervous. She shakes and she makes you feel, I've been around a long time. I've had a lot of supervisors and I've just never quite experienced a personality quite like this. But those aren't
facts, right? Those aren't circumstances, right?
Right.
I want you to think of her in terms of just circumstances. So direct quotes of what she says.
Okay.
You can say something like she, you know, her body physically shakes. But it has to be totally neutral, totally factual, something that everyone on this planet, something you could prove in a court of law. Mm-hmm. That, and then everything else is your thoughts about it, about what, you know, what she says or does.
Mm-hmm.
one consolation is I know I'm not the only one. This has happened. I've seen her do it to other people.
Yeah.
It's just the way she'll come out and after 5 months and it talks about the cost to the company of this certain error. And then I find out later that, no, and the processors who I'm preparing all the documents for, they should catch that. So what she ended up doing was, we're down some people. Somebody's on maternity leave. Someone got sick. So she was actually having to work those jobs. And some documents I have to print out. I was told to print to this certain signature page because that document is 30 plus pages. And so this only prints to page 7. Rather not kill trees, I was very confident in what I was told where to print to. And then another document got cut off. Now we're talking 60 some loans coming in the inbox. So it was super busy. I feel very confident what I'm doing now. And sometimes you have to order floods. And I should be directed exactly from the officer what parcel of land.
Okay, you're getting in the weeds here. So tell me what happened.
Okay, so she comes out and tells me that this was Thursday. She came out and said that this is the third flood I have found that you did not order correctly. And she had me so flustered. I couldn't even explain the one because it wouldn't have mattered. I mean, I felt, you know, she's blaming the person who trained me, who's on maternity leave.
Okay, so that all that would all be, you know, that would be a direct quote, right? That would be a direct quote. So let's just say she's going to do say things and she's not. Mm-hmm. So how do you want to show up? Because you can't change her, right?
Right. Well, because this is, you know, what happened was, my thought was, well, I'm stupid and I'm not a very good employee. I mean, that's how mm-hmm. where my thought went right away because, mm-hmm. and I was just thinking, gosh, you know, I really do like this role that I'm in. It's fun. It's fast paced. And I felt like I was getting it. Mm. To a point where Thursday I thought, well, geez, maybe I should just pack up my desk and walk mm-hmm. out. I'm terrible.
Yeah. I mean, that's a pretty crappy thought, right?
It is. And so yeah. Then I was sad and I was mad. And I was actually mm-hmm. scared thinking, gosh, does she dislike me this much that, you know, do I have to be worried about my job? And yet logically I'm thinking, I know she's chewed people out the same way she had done to me. So what did I start doing? I just felt the tears coming. I couldn't stop them. Mm-hmm. Sitting at my desk. And she had done this in front of my other two coworkers who they weren't surprised by it at all because they've seen her do it before to others and me. And so then, you know, I put down the action.
You see that you crying is not because of what she did or said.
Mm-hmm.
Those tears came from your thought that I am stupid and I'll never figure this out.
Right. Right. And so, you know, I ended up with this, yesterday it was even worse. She came back out again. Same thing in front of others. So it's embarrassing, number one.
Why is it embarrassing?
Because she makes it look... You know, she's pointing out all these things in front of other people that I'm incorrect on.
So what is that? So what? So what does that mean to you? What do you make that mean?
Well, she doesn't like me. I apparently am not good at this job.
All your thoughts, right? More thoughts. Yeah,
she wants to, I don't know how Rebecca trained you. Well, Rebecca isn't. She is a great worker. I feel like she's trained me well. I really do feel like she taught me well. And I just always twice now in the last week, I've had to stop her and say, no, it's not Rebecca. I made a mistake.
Oh.
And it's always this defensive. When she walks by me, I was so sick. I had to take Imodium. I had
But you know that all this stuff you're saying, Carla, all this stuff you're saying are your thoughts, right?
Right. I just don't know how to stay neutral, how to defend myself. Because you know what? I am human and I am going to make mistakes. And the volume was really high. And if the lender isn't going to be specific on my parcels of land to order this flood on or whatnot.
Okay, the bottom line is, so like all this stuff's going to happen. She's going to say stuff. You're not going to get all the information you need. All of this is going to happen. How do you want to show up? Do you want to show up as neutral, or how do you want to feel about this job and everything that comes with it?
I like the company. I like the people I work with. I like what I'm doing. I just want to be able to go and not be afraid. I'm afraid of her. She's scary. She's just plain scary.
But that's your thought that you're choosing that is optional to you.
Mm-hmm.
How do you want to think about her instead of I'm scared of her?
I want to learn how to be confident and to be able to not let her rattle me and give an answer back and then let her walk away and continue working.
Do you think that's possible?
I think it's going to take some practice, and I'm sure I'll get more opportunities.
Did you work on an intentional model?
I did, and Stacy helped me a little bit with it. I'd gotten down, I didn't have action and result, but I had her actions, and then I had the thought was that I'm human, I'll make mistakes, let it go. Stacy corrected me and said, you know, maybe it should be more direct, like Tammy's action do not affect me and my work.
What do you think about that thought?
It's like, wow, okay. I liked it.
Why did you say wow?
It's just such an empowering thought, and I'm just I've always crumbled in the past, and I'm trying, I would say that listening to PNP and all the coaching and everything I've learned so far actually really helped me through some of the rough spots with her. But for whatever reason, Thursday and Friday, I mean, she rode me all week and I just lost it. And I don't want to do that. I feel like by doing that, she feels empowered and she likes it. And I don't want to give her
that. But you realize that that was because you didn't have your thoughts in check.
Right. Okay. Right
during that time. You know, those 2 days, you didn't have your thoughts in check. It wasn't that she was better or worse, you know, any worse than she normally, you know, she wasn't acting any different, right? You just, you didn't have your mind right around it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, come, I guess Tuesday, probably you're probably going into work on Tuesday.
Yeah.
What do you want to practice when you go in? And, you know, some of the same stuff is going to happen. She's going to say things and do things. What do you want to practice believing when you go into work?
That I am a good worker, that I, I may not be perfect, but I am always trying to learn. I'm trying to think about how am I supposed to answer her, you know, in more of a, you know, put it back in her. Well, how would you like to train me differently?
Or, I think that would be a really good exercise for you to do, like to kind of write down some common kind of responses, you know, to probably some common things that she says or does. And this is what we call obstacles and strategies. So you come up with, like, you know, things that she's going to say or do, like, you know, common things. I mean, you can't predict everything, right? But
right.
I mean, you know, come up with that and then come up with how you're going to choose to respond and choose to show up. And, you know, and have that decided ahead of time. So if she comes in and says, you know, you're not doing this right, then what are you going to say, for example? What's going to be a response, like a response that you have for her?
Would you please show me how you would like me to do it?
Okay. Yeah, something like that. But I want you to write all of those down.
Okay.
So that you're really prepared when you go in on Tuesday,
mm-hmm.
and just so you're not caught off guard, you know, any, you know, just really be able to anticipate as much as you can ahead of time. But I want you to come because you mentioned empowered. Is that how you want to feel in your job, empowered? And this is one way for you to really feel empowered, right? Where you are prepared going in that, okay, if she says something like this, if she does something like this, this is how I'm going to respond because I get to control how I show up, how I respond, and I get to, you know, I get to decide how I'm going to benefit from this relationship. I can't control her or what she's going to say, but I absolutely get to control me. Mm-hmm. Always.
You know, the interesting thing with what happened yesterday, I just kind of, I did chuckle a little bit when she walked away because what I printed for her to work on, she could have gone back in and looked before she called this person and said, oh, this document was this way and I don't have enough pages for this document. So she goes and calls the lender and then tells me that she was embarrassed and that they got mad at her. Well, it wasn't my fault that she called. She could have looked at.
So like, for example, how are you want to respond to that? Something like that.
How should I respond? My brain's just racing. She kind of answered it. Well, maybe I should have called first. But that's what I was thinking too. It's like, how is that my fault?
Is that how you want to respond?
No. I don't want to say to her that was, how is that my fault? I can.
Okay, so this is a good example. So how, like, if you could, you know, turn back time, how would you want to respond to that specific situation?
I guess I would have explained that instead of, you know, printing out so many pages, it was my understanding that we only needed to print to the officer's signature and that all the documentation you needed was prior to that. Mm-hmm. And then I feel like I'm throwing the other person under the bus, but I really, you know, the other processor said the same thing. We don't use anything behind that. So I don't know what she was. I just don't understand why she was reprimanding me.
Well, and that could mean, you know, and if you're not understanding, then you could respond in some way like, I'm not understanding what I did wrong, what I, you know, should, how, if I should have done something differently here. Can you explain to me what I should have done differently or something like that, right?
Okay.
So what you can actually do is kind of go back to what has already happened and say, okay, if I could do this over again, how would I respond differently? You know?
Okay.
And write that out, and you know, just, and you'll come up with some common language, you know, that you can start practicing and start using. I mean, things like, can you please explain to me, you know, what you mean by this, or you know, I'm not understanding this. Can you please explain? You know, things like that, right? Because you know, you're wanting to feel empowered. You're wanting to learn as much as you can. You're new to this job still. And so really practice that kind of language in terms of, okay, I'm not understanding this, or I need more explanation on this and things like that, right?
Okay.
And so that's what I want you to do, is kind of go back to things that have already happened and think about how you would handle them differently, right? It's almost kind of like a recovery worksheet, right? Like you're kind of processing what happened and you're like, okay, I don't want it to happen that way again. So what would I do differently? You can even look at some questions on the recovery worksheet. We're like, you know, okay, I handled it this way before. How do I want to handle it next time? And so that's what I want you to do. And coming from that, and I want you to keep reminding yourself, I want you to ask yourself every day, how can I feel empowered at work today?
Okay.
I want you to ask you, like, write that up at in the top of your plan or whatever, because I want your brain to always be working on how you can feel empowered. And, you know, through your actions, through your words, through how you show up all day, every day. Okay.
Okay.
So just start working on that. And then if you get stuck or if you need more help, you can always come back on a coaching call or post and ask coaches. You know, I'd love to see some of your responses, you know, your work that you're doing on this.
Okay.
All right. Take care.
Thank you very much.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
All right, y'all. That's all we got. It is 2:00. Let's see. No questions. let's see, we got, you know, kind of a holiday weekend here in the U.S. of A. So, and Corinne, you know, was supposed to be going to Vegas and she's not. So she's, but she's at home kind of doing a staycation. So we won't have coaching on Sundays. She won't have coaching on Sundays like she usually does. So her next coaching call is on Wednesday. But before that, Kathy is doing office hours on Tuesday night. And so that will be your next live coaching opportunity Wednesday at noon. Yvette, Wednesday at noon, and but you have to have already requested coaching from Corinne, so that's already set. But we have the whole new calendar for June as of today. I think that's on the website. If you go to Get Coached, you'll be able to request to get coaching in June now from Corinne. But then, of course, office hours for me and Kathy are always just raise your hand and as many as we have time for. Unfortunately, we've got some folks that we didn't have time for. But Kathy will be back on Tuesday night, 6 to 8 p.m. And then I will actually not be back on here next Saturday because we have our Don't Stop Believing 5K, 10K half marathon next Saturday in Nashville. So I'll be taking the next Saturday off. But Kathy will be back on Tuesday night. So, yeah, so usually I'm on Saturdays for office hours, noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. But again, next Saturday I won't be on because, let me make sure I say that, but let me make sure. Let's see. Yeah, no, we don't have it because we're going to be starting early. On Saturday morning with the race, we call it a race. It's not a race, but with the, walk run and in Nashville. And then after that, we'll be doing all kinds of stuff, with our folks that day. Now we'll be in as coaches in the groups and everything, but we just won't be doing office hours that day. Okay. All right, guys, we all have a great rest of your holiday weekend if you're celebrating the holiday, or just have a great rest of the weekend, and we will see y'all online. All right, take care. Bye.